Podcasting 2.0 for October 14th, 2022, episode 106, Steak and Eggs. Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. It's the podcast, Podcasting 2.0. We discuss everything going on with the future and the now of podcasting. That's right. What's happening with the podcast namespace? Who's in? Who's in even deeper? And, of course, everything happening at podcastindex.social. I do too many podcasts. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who deals with taxes twice a year. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Guess what was sitting on my doorstep or stoop or whatever you want to call it when I got home for podcast lunch today?
Another chicken?
No. That was the opposite of chicken.
Your beef box. Beef box. Where'd you get it from?
Yeah, from K&C Cattle.
Man. All right.
Yeah, the OG. I got the OG beef box. I did 20 pounds of ground beef.
Individual one pound.
Wrappage. Mm-hmm. Oh, very well, well packaged, taped up, dry ice, the whole thing. I was stoked. Yes. Very happy.
Cause Tina have been eating, K&C, cattle, grass raised and, beef for, I don't know, at least half a year now, maybe a little bit longer. And in the last two evenings, she's been doing this program. So we've been eating a lot of beef for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, just beef, which believe me is not a hardship.
Right.
And, So twice we've been to a restaurant, good restaurants here in Fredericksburg, and we'd be like, this beef sucks. Really? Our beef is, hamburgers? Are you kidding me? You'll notice the difference. You won't be able to eat a burger anywhere else. You'll be like, hey, let me just bring my own beef here. Why don't you cook mine up?
I'll be a beef snob.
That's right. Yeah. Beef snob, big time.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I've spoken about health issues with me in the past here on the show, and I've tried every dietary thing, all this kind of stuff ever, but I sent this to you a couple weeks ago.
This is the erectile dysfunction you're talking about?
Well, I'll try it into it. I sent you this. These clips of a couple of weeks ago from the Peter Attia podcast where he interviewed this guy about protein.
Right.
And I never realized, how low protein my diet is. Now I'm bad to not eat enough, just period. Like my calorie intake on a daily basis. If I'm not deliberate about it and watch myself, I'll look back over a couple of week period of time and I'll have eaten 1,300-1,400 calories a day. So that's just simply not enough. And so that's one issue. But then I start looking at what I've been eating for the last few years.
There it is.
And I'm like, I'm probably really deficient in basic amino acids and protein. Mm-hmm. And then so I'm like, okay, I gotta work on this. And so I've been doing until I got the beef box. The beef box is really going to be the core of my dietary experiment here. But then I started also doing a pure whey protein isolate shake once a day. That gives you a good cross section of amino acids that are not synthetic baloney. And then and I can tell you, man, it's already made a big difference in the way I feel.
Oh, really?
I think I was severely deficient in protein.
Oh man, wait until you start hammering this beef. I mean, I've heard such stories of miraculous recovery. People who have had issues for 20 years, IBS, diabetes, 2 weeks of pure beef, real good beef, done. No more symptoms, no more problems.
So my question though is from a now seasoned beef expert such as yourself and
we are beef snobs. Yes.
How do you do? What is the proper way to do a beef-based breakfast?
Well, funny enough, she usually makes hamburgers. And then the night before, and you just grab a hamburger, pop it in the microwave, heat it up, and just eat it like that. Also, and it's hard to get, but really well-sourced bacon.
I mean, you can eat 10 pieces of cooked bacon in the morning and be done until past lunch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's really incredible.
You know, one thing about bacon, so beef, this is turning into the protein podcast, but beef, ruminant animals create, they're saturated fat. Their fat in them is saturated. It's mm-hmm. almost all saturated mm-hmm. because they do not consume fat. They consume grass. And so they don't eat, because they don't eat dietary fat, their body creates all their fat through lipogenesis.
They create more than goes in. I played those clips on the No Agenda. They were so good.
Yeah, no, but this is not about the protein. This is about the fat.
Okay.
Yeah, this is about the fat. Yeah. So the fat is saturated, which is good. And so then but with pigs, with pork, a lot of people don't know, and I didn't know this either until recently, that most pork is not saturated. It's very high in polyunsaturated fat, because you think meat equals saturated fat, but it's really not that way. So most pork, since they're fed with like slop, which is you know just leftovers, that's going to be dominated by like soybean oil and things like that.
That's the problem. You can't have they can't have pigs fed. People are complaining in the chat room, like, what is this, the protein 2.0 podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, fair point. Fair point. Is there podcast stuff going on? I'm not aware of
this
anything.
This was a very interesting week for the value for value portion of podcasting 2.0 in multiple ways, with the PayPal acceptable use policy debacle.
We were slightly victimized by that as well on this very show.
Yeah, No Agenda, which I think we'll be able to show how this impacts things. No Agenda has always solicited almost every single kind of payment, you know, checks, cash, gold coins, Zelle, pop money, you name it. And
briefly Bitcoin for like,
never, ever really. Now people are just sending, I don't know what
they
to do
send
with it.
Yeah, yeah. They send it.
But the majority is through PayPal. So what happened is there was an interpretation by people, listeners, just regular old users, that not only could it be a podcast host, just to keep it in podcasting, it could be for all kinds of different content, but I think it's geared towards podcasting. Mm-hmm. But also, if you donated to a podcast and therefore was financing misinformation or disinformation, as determined by the powers that be, that you could get dinged for $2,500. So people had a very knee jerk and now honestly, from my standpoint as well, a very valid response, which was screw you. And then they quit their accounts. But when you mm-hmm. quit your account, you know, that $50 a month you were sending us also quits. So there was about 250, 300 accounts that closed. That hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts.
So it was not nearly like that with us, but there were three that quit on us. And I mean, it's not a large dollar amount. It ended up being $25 a month total. So it was like a 10, a 10, and a 5. But I mean, with our, you know, our budgets are small. And so we don't, that is a noticeable thing.
Right. Now there's a silver lining to this. Now, first of all, Dvorak and I have had ongoing this conversation for several years. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, if you use PayPal, and again, this is our weakest link. I'll be honest about it. It's very, very weak. And part of the reason why this podcasting 2.0 value for value system was developed was for just this very case. You can't, if you use PayPal, by the agreement, you can't say anything negative about PayPal. So,
really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And that's most services, but you know, when you know that it's a payment processor that's already a bit little volatile and doing weird shit, then you're like, okay, well, let's not talk about it for a minute, because that would give them a very valid reason to close us down. Now, we've had nothing but good experiences. We have an account manager who we can call. All that's been great. I don't like any of the stuff they're doing either. But I also, you know, like being able to help my family and live and pay the mortgage. So the silver lining is, John has agreed that as long as we can have instant processing or settlement of any payments into US dollars, that we can now start accepting Bitcoin on No Agenda. And this made me very happy in a sad moment, because this means that, and I'll tell you who I'm working with and what we're doing in a moment. This means that once I just have the regular, you know, like an on-chain and a Lightning invoice type payment set up, then we can add Keysend, then we can add Boostergrams, and we can talk about it on the show. And that, so, and that, as you can see from my OP3 stats, might be meaningful.
Yes, it might. So it may be worth it. So John's concern about Bitcoin is really purely like a, just that it's a, as a financial instrument within the United States legally. He's just concerned about, he's been concerned about that aspect of things, like, well, not muddying the water with IRS shenanigans and things like that. Is that fair to say?
That is exactly the reason. We had an audit early on. Not early on, but when an audit mattered, and the IRS was very confused about our business model. You know, all they saw was big amounts of cash and just hundreds of checks, and it's like, what kind of business are you running here? You know, import export of something. So we set it all up, and, you know, and it's a good system. It's like, you don't want to rock the boat, because, you know, I've been through so many IRS things. It really sucks. And
you're a small business, basically. It's just self-employed. That is always not like, you're always going to be the one that gets the short end of the stick when it comes to anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's the entire business right there. So we've been very, now we have an agreement, you know. We each have an equally valid veto. If we don't both agree, then it's a veto. We can try and convince each other. We can yell, whatever. It doesn't matter. Veto is veto. And that's been his veto. And I respect that. But I keep trying. And I think there's another aspect to it. He's really angry at the Bitcoin for not seeing its value and poo-pooing it and never getting on board. And he thinks it's too late and he can never jump on the train. And it doesn't matter what I say, he won't do that. But this was also a special moment of weakness. You know, now all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, you know, this could go south, and it already is. So, you know, here's a way to circumvent that whole problem. It's just like any other payment processor. We're getting dollars in our account, and we get an accounting. We get a note, we get a username or an email address, and the payment, and that's it. And so, and he's like, okay, let's do that. So I'm really excited. And so, Slim, Texas Slim, hooked me up with IBEX. I think it is IBEX.
IBEX.
I believe that's who it is. Let me just check. And they do the whole system for the Beef Initiative. And so I talked to their representative. They're very, very active, which I like a lot. I like when they're like calling me and like, and actually the, Annalise, the woman, IBEX. Yeah. The woman who's the account representative, she was at the Holy Cow Ranch, staying for a few days with, Walden and Ann, I think. They're ranchers like K&C. She's there to learn the business so that they can, you know, do even more for them with their financial products.
She's
embedding.
That's old school service.
Exactly, embedding herself. I think they're from El Salvador. They have an office in Miami, but it looks like they're one of these outfits that maybe started in El Salvador. So I said,
that's like when back in the days when the banker used to come out to your business and look around to get an idea of what you're, you know, so they know if you're, you know, good for the loan, you know,
and what your needs might be. It wasn't always just good for the loan. So there's another thing about PayPal, which I didn't realize, because I said to John, I said, you know, we should get Stripe, or, you know, let's get one of these other things on board. He said, yeah. He said, believe me, I've been looking for 6 months. I said, what do you mean? How hard is that? There's lots of alternatives. He said, none of them. PayPal is unique with subscriptions. It's unique.
Yeah, because they are a bank.
Yep.
Just and they can put and they can do a withdrawal.
Yep.
Because you set up. You set up that subscriber agreement and you're agreeing to allow them to deduct money automatically from your bank account. And that is not what Stripe is.
Exactly. So, what I started off with the IBEX people is, and we have a meeting, I think Tuesday, call with the whole team. I need basically a PayPal drop in. You know, it's a term I learned from you with the block tag. Like, I need to drop it. PayPal drop in. So, you know, I need to be able to give my partner, he has to be able to make a link just with a button, you know, so that he can add that in his newsletter. Nothing complicated. Just drop in. Boom. It has to do all the same stuff PayPal does. You know, give us the same, you know, four basic fields of reporting, who it's from, you know, their location if they want to give it. Email address, you know, whatever that is, so we can identify multiple donations in the message and the payment. And then for extra bonus points, can we do a subscription? You said, yeah, we're working on a couple things with that. It will work. I mean, obviously, just like with PayPal, the subscription payment fails if you don't have enough coin in the can, so to speak. But they say they're working on something like that. I'd have to see how that works. But anyway. I'm really excited about that because isn't not, you know, that'll really open stuff up. You know, when people boost enough, it'll get through to the donation segments. They'll be able to promote boostograms. And it was a great week because this was a topic in a lot of places and a lot of people were tweeting, you know, value for value, ooh, everywhere, value for value. This thing has just got a life of its own. And I was listening to Podland, which, does Sam Sethi produce that? Does he produce that thing? I have a feeling he produces it.
When you say produce, you mean like assemble the audio?
Like puts it together and does the editing. He seems to do most of the interviews.
I thought James did that. I think he does it because I've heard him talking about doing the stuff in Hindenburg and all that. I may be wrong.
Well, what happens is, you maybe you're right. I see Sam Sethi on Twitter late his time, UK time. Yeah, where's the show? Hey, man, the show is late. The show's supposed to come out Thursday. And now I don't get it until Friday. And I was wondering, you know, like, is he up late doing it? Or is James getting up early to do it? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Oh, yeah, and one other thing. I can hear the Descript editing. I don't like it.
It's choppy.
It's choppy.
Cuts people's words off, yeah.
Editing speech, and this is my problem with AI-generated speech as well in general. You know, those subtle little pauses, and sometimes you want to leave a little extra in there, you know, or you want to get a breath. You want to leave that. You want to get it right at the right moment. And I hear it. I just hear so much. It's too tight, and it almost sounds like it's time compressed sometimes. That's just me personally. That's a professional opinion, audio editing opinion.
Some things look to the waveform like they're an or an or something like that,
and
but
chop
really
that
not,
out. Yeah.
And it chops it. Yeah.
I like you. You got to have some of those moments. And also, you're not a robot. You're not a robot. Okay. Here's Todd Cochran was on. Okay. And we've already seen, a change in our child recently. Todd has really changed his behavior.
He's so big.
So Todd, this is what I love about him. And so he celebrated 18 years, you know, like 8 million episodes of his podcast. And astoundingly, since the days of Chris Redlinger, I think her name was, he still has GoDaddy as a sponsor of his Geek News Central.
Amazing.
It's a staple. It's really Todd's a phenomenal guy. And when he digs in, he digs in. And so he had, I would say almost like a come to Jesus type of moment where he's just like, holy crap, this is the way to go. And he tells a story about how he's been thinking about it all wrong. And he was actually listening to our show and it just hit him like a ton of bricks. And so he's all in. I wanted to play a quick minute here of what he feels his role is in podcasting 2.0 with Blueberry.
Depending on how you want to put it, I have to bring these podcast 2.0 features to the platform in order to educate the podcasters so that the podcasters then will demand of the app developers to please implement this versus vice versa. Yeah. I think I have a, and I think if we work it both ways together with the app developers implementing and hosting providers. And, you know, don't get me wrong, Buzzsprout's here, RSS.com, us. There's a few others that are being very proactive in thinking about podcasting 2.0. And I think that it's critical for us to think about how we're going to not only serve listeners going forward, but how we're going to help podcasters. You know, my part of my company, a mantra right now, our theme is publish, analyze, grow. Mm-hmm. And the grow piece is probably 80% of that mantra. How am I going to help podcasters grow? Because this is what they're asking me every day. I'm going to want to grow my show and grow my show.
So I like what Todd is saying, because I know how Todd is with the educational piece of the business, which is really not quantifiable. You know, they have to, it's built into the deal. But I think for all the great work that the hosting companies who have come long before Blueberry and implementing this, and really leading the way and getting it to a point where Todd wakes up. I mean, that's really what it was like, boing, 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 and he admits it. So first of all, that's just a beautiful moment. But I think on the education side, you're going to see Blueberry doing a lot. He understands that. You know, he understands, like, we need to get, you know, we have to focus not just on the Apple and the Spotify chicklets everywhere. And, you know, he's like OCD for detail on that kind of stuff. And I think he's going to show everybody else, like, here's how you can really push this from the podcast hosting side to get people interested, find ways to explain things to them. And that's mm-hmm. where the second clip comes in, which was, this is a beautiful moment between two men, Todd Cochran and Sam Sethi. It's a beautiful moment here. Listen, he's shilling value for value based upon the PayPal events.
Podcasters got to be able to own their stack. And just like this little thing that PayPal did the other day.
Yeah.
You know, PayPal said it came in under an AUP, said, hey, if you say something that's misinformation, we're going to fine you $2,500 for instance. And of course, they had massive pushback. But I talked about on the tech show, I'm thinking, if they had continued that and put that into policy, I relied on PayPal for my business and for my podcast for years. Where do I go? Mm-hmm. What do I use? What do I shift to protect myself? And I don't know if I even have an answer for that right now. But Podcast 2.0 has the potential over time to allow content listeners to make micro donations to the shows that would not be possible. If someone wants to send me $2, it's going to be 50 cents of processing.
Exactly.
So I'm not a Bitcoin Satoshi investment expert, and I don't claim to be, but it's as a donation model, it works good. If people can just think about it as a token to a podcaster, that value is going to go up and down. But if you don't really think about, you buy the Satoshis and get so many for a value, but in the end, it's going to be a number, 10,000 Satoshis. I don't even know what that's worth. Is that a buck or whatever it may be? If you make a contribution of 10,000, to me, that is the number, is 10K. It's not really the dollar amount. Ultimately, it backs out the dollar and I can cash that money out. But as a host, and I understand this now, but I got to explain this to a podcaster that doesn't know how to right click a mouse.
In the same way, if I want to send you 10,000 sats, I just need your Lightning address. I don't need to know about the various ways that it's going up and down and back and forth and whatever it's doing.
That's right.
So maybe in 6 months' time, I think we will be there. It's happening fast, but it's maybe a little bit too early still.
So, and that's just one piece. That's just one thing of what, 30 things that are being worked on. Mm. The lit tag, the cross app
comments,
all that stuff. There's just a whole bunch of stuff there. So basically, our approach is we're going to, you know, and be honest with you, it's simple to implement some of this stuff. It's just a text field. The key really is, though, is making sure that we have the education, the back end process to make the listener or the podcaster understand this is why we're doing this. This is something you can opt into here's the information you can put in. And so, you know, we're all in. We really are. And I laid the gauntlet down a number of times on the New Media Show, encouraging other platforms to get involved.
So I like that they're abstracting. Like, I really don't give a crap how this works. Just make it work so I can explain it to the rest of the dummies like me.
Yeah.
And that's perfect. This is such a beautiful moment. This is really, really good. And I so agree. And, you know, we got our heads way too deep in channels and lightning and core lightning. And so these guys, they just go way above that and go, yeah, I can see how I can just do this email address thing. And, you know, it's up to us to make that work everywhere down under the hood. But, and then obviously, you know, Todd hasn't quite seen that a whole bunch of micro payments can make a macro payment. And we've seen that on this very podcast. We've gotten 5 million sats in a boost previously.
Yeah. So I was on. Go ahead. No, go ahead. I don't want to break your flow.
Well, I was just going to say that it's that's interesting that, you know, we market so hard that it's micro payments that I can see the mental block that, well, clearly that's not a good way to send $100, but it is. That's the beauty of it. And once people are into the ecosystem, well, then you can add an on-chain QR code or Lightning QR code. There's a lot of different things you can do, but you and I even talked about it, you know, so after this after the PayPal apocalypse. It's like, you know, so we increase our channels. And I took a look, and, you know, we're pretty good with our main partners, like, you know, Fountain, and of course, LMPay runs on our system. Breeze has opened big pipe to us. So we're pretty good. But, you know, yeah, people can send 5, 6, 7 million sats in a single boost if they want to.
Yeah, that's one thing, is that the amounts that are available for routing payments on the Lightning Network as a whole have gone up a lot.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
If just in the time that we've been doing the Podcasting 2.0 project. So if you go back to August of 2000, your ability to route, I mean, it was dicey if you're going to get $1,000 through the system. Very dicey. Now, I mean, the way it is now, I mean, $1,000, that's pretty solid. I mean, you're going to get that through. I feel very good about $1,000 payment going through. Yep. So that means anything less than that is on really firm footing. The issue is going to be with failed payments. Really, the issue is going to be with people who run their own nodes and are early adopters and don't understand the liquidity provisions there. And so they're not monitoring those channels. Now, there's a lot of those people, because a lot of people did want to just be an early adopter, and they're not going to have $1,000 of liquidity on their node. But that's a separate thing. That's like a side issue. That's an issue of a technology adoption curve with a certain segment of people. Now, for what people have been saying and all along is, well, there needs to be broader adoption. Well, that broader adoption is for certain going to happen with custodial solutions, things like Fountain, Albi, I'm not going to put LMPay in there, but other payment platforms and custodial solutions that come about, Breeze.
Well, also the hybrid model where it will be a sovereign, so you will be the only one with the keys, but there's a cloud component that will help you receive when your keys are not available to sign at that moment.
Yeah, and so I threw Breeze in there as custodial. I don't mean they're custodial with your keys. I just mean they're custodial liquidity. Yeah. So they're helping you with your liquidity.
And managing the liquidity on the back end, which is exactly what a Lightning service provider does. That's what Breeze does, in effect. And Voltage has a version of it too.
So if you look down the line, I guess what I'm trying to get to is let's just say you look down the line. Sam said 6 months. He mentioned that time frame in that clip.
Sam is clueless. Sam doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, for people who don't know that tongue-in-cheek, Sam is very clued in on these things. He plays dumb, but he knows exactly
what's going on.
So he's 6 months. You know, he uses 6 months. Let's just say, okay, so let's broaden that, say 6 months to a year. Okay, well, then I'm thinking 6 months to a year, you definitely have firmly established custodial solutions that can handle large payments. $1,000 will be no problem at all. So if you have a concern, if you're a podcaster and you're like, well, I want to do value for value and I want to be able, and I actually do have people that are going to send me $100, $200, $500, $1,000, well then go do a custodial solution. Do an Albee or a Fountain or one of these custodial things or whatever emerges later, and then do a Breeze wallet, and then offload those sats off to somewhere else after the fact. You don't have to keep, just because you're custodial in the transport doesn't mean you have to keep it there. You can then shuffle those sats off into another wallet that you have the keys for.
Yeah, or for instance, the IBEX solution, they're developing this with podcasters in mind. So this is a perfect get together. It's completely custodial, but for people like ourselves, because it's not just John. I mean, yeah, he's been the friction, but we're in it together. You have no exposure to volatility in the market, and you get it swept out, so you almost have no risk at all, except maybe an overnight of some payments if something went wrong. I think that they will probably integrate a helipad, or who knows, maybe they buy Albee and put the Saturn stuff in. I mean, that's what I love so much, is this whole other space that is just waking up to this, going, crap, we can create services for these people.
Yeah, I was on John Chigi's Pragmatic Show Wednesday. We recorded Wednesday. It's not out yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked a lot about Bitcoin there, and I made a sort of a statement or discussed a thing where I said I'm not a maximalist, a Bitcoin maximalist, and this is apropos to what we're talking about, because what I mean is that, like, if I was having a discussion with a Bitcoin maximalist at over a beer, and I think everything we would talk about would be like, yep, I agree. But when it's like, are you a maxi? The reason I would say no to that is because I don't know the future. And I don't know that, I tend to split Bitcoin into two different things. And I like the way that Sam and Todd were discussing it there. Because, you have Bitcoin as money. And then you have Bitcoin as a financial transport or a monetary transport layer.
Yep.
And I see those things as really being two different things. So you have, if you would say, okay, are you a maximalist? I think most people come at Bitcoin maximalism from the standpoint of a really strong desire, they see a need for hard money. They see the problems that we have with this fiat money world. They see the pain that it causes. The core inflation yesterday was hot as a hot as a firecracker. These things, people are really getting hurt financially with the fiat money system that we have. And so, I agree with all of those things. But the problem is, like, orange pilling people into a certain financial thing. I think that is not necessary in order to have adoption of the Bitcoin as transportation, as the Bitcoin as a financial transport, because that's what you have here. It can be, I can have a system where, and we do, where I can get paid in Bitcoin using the Bitcoin stack or the Lightning, you know, the Lightning as transport and the Bitcoin as the monetary instrument. And then once I'm paid, I can move that in and out as I will.
Is this not exactly what Taro is going to do from Lightning Labs? I think that's exactly the point. Is you can say, I want to send $5 to Adam. I want him to receive euros. And it goes mm-hmm. through broker one, then through the Lightning Network, out through broker two, and then into your pocket.
That's my understanding is that it's sort of like an onion. It encapsulates this other asset. Yeah. And then it goes in as one thing and pops out as that same thing.
Yeah. So and that's probably the version that will have adoption most quickly. You're absolutely right, but just like that's it's, well, you know, it's two separate conversations, but they become so conflated.
What prompted it was John was like, you know, we were talking about what was going to happen in the future, and what would happen, you know, let's just say 2050, and it's a Bitcoin ecosystem. Like, how do you pay for things? How do you pay for this? And I was like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know the answers to those questions. And the thing is, what I can see happening is that absolutely there's going to be the transport mechanism of Bitcoin is already established as a fact of life. And this is going to be part of our future. All of us. It's grown too fast. It's too big, and to stop it, the Bitcoin as the hard money and how that applies to everybody's daily lives. And let's just say 2050. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just saying that that's just much murkier, and I don't understand how that's going to look either.
Oh,
but, you know.
Yeah. Well, unlike you, I am from the future. And here's what I have to say about it.
They're saying that all hell is going to break loose and you're going to need a Bitcoin.
I am a Bitcoin maxi because I agree with that. he asked me is an interesting question too, is what other cryptocurrencies are free of any sort of corporate control and that type of thing. So like, you know, Ethereum, Solana, all these cryptocurrencies, they're all like pre-mined corporate controlled smoke and mirrors. And he said, you know, which ones are not like that other than Bitcoin? You know, I could only think of the only three I could think Bitcoin, obviously, Hive. And I think that was an accident. I think Hive ended up without corporate control and being decentralized, a DAO decentralized thing, just by accident of history, from their fork split or whatever that happened. Mm-hmm. And then Monero. Those are the only three I can think of that don't have corporate control.
Dave at podcastindex.org, everybody. Boostagram. Boostagram to tell us how wrong we are. Because you know that's coming.
You know, and remember, there's limits to how many texts you can put in a Boostagram, so you're going to have to do multiples.
So, you know, it's interesting because I found that what's really happening, or what I've always wanted and what I see is happening, is much less focus on the Bitcoin and its value for value. The value for value is the whole. So when you have Bitcoin and, you know, 21 million and fiat versus Bitcoin and hard money, etc. That's over on this side. Over here, we've got the practical side with Lightning mainly, but the value for value, where people are starting to understand that there's a different way of creating the market, that it doesn't have to be based on paywall, on access that you purchase, on pricing that you didn't have a say in. Mm-hmm. And so I forget who tweeted this out, but this is a value for value 2.0 podcaster, BTC June. And BTG June, this is the That Puro Signal, I think, is the title of the podcast. I've just got to play this guy's opening because he gets it. Totally based.
Now we do things a little bit differently here. We do things value for value.
Yeah.
Nice.
I ain't hit my man with a price tag. I told Bar Minor, you tell me what this is worth to you, my brother. And that's how we're gonna play this thing out. But this is a two-way street. And I operate high level on this value for value economic model. I'm a leader here.
Yes,
we
you are.
We're building this system. We will take out all of the oligarchical powers that stand in our way. This is decentralization. Power of decentralization is here. In full effect. Let's go.
I mean, it doesn't get much more beautiful than this.
That's all in. That is all in.
I love it. You know, because it has this weird mix of, you know, 80s, like really bad synth pop. Is mm-hmm. But it also has this kind of Malcolm X, Che Guevara, the revolution will not be televised type vibe to it. Exactly. This is beautiful. I'd love it so much.
Oh, that's awesome. I do love it. That's what you don't. I guess I get bogged down in the debates and that kind of thing about the Bitcoin stuff. And I think Bitcoin is important to me personally. Financially, I have my own financial things that I do with it. But if I step outside of Dave and step out into, okay, what does the industry need? What is, at this moment in time, what is a problem that needs solving within podcasting and within media itself? That, Dave, says that the eventual currency and the way that it lands doesn't matter as much as the ability for it to be transported without limits.
Right.
The transportation to me is the critical thing at this moment in time. The other part will resolve itself.
So the couple of things happening that's important to see if we can have any influence on it right out of the gate. So with just purely the utility of, are we okay with leaving the Bitcoin conversation where it is and just continue to talk about the utility of the network of Lightning?
I would love to.
Okay. So we've gotten to this point by choosing this particular system where we have incredible interoperability. And I mean, not just the technical interoperability, but we've gotten it to a level where we have a language. Boostagram, streaming payments. Everyone uses them universally. No one's gone off and done, you know, something else. Right down to confetti, which is in a, try and plan, put that into your business plan. Oh, and by the way, all these independent developers will all use confetti. Like, no, that that would never happen. So yeah,
that's a bullet point on your slide.
Yeah. You know, so all these beautiful things and it interops where, you know, Breeze can immediately start using it. Fountain was able to build an entire business on it. That was a laugh till. I'm not an advisor. And then Albi comes in and they've got the wallets and they do a hackathon and they've got stats. And so I'm seeing these, you know, this is like an MBA dream, a business degree. A student would be like, holy crap, this is so amazing what is happening. And then I see something called getmash.com. And I'm excited because it must have been a tweet somewhere or something. And so right there on the page that you get to the overview, it has a boost button. I'm like, oh, this is cool. They have some system for boost. I'm like, okay. And I click it, and it's like, oh, no, 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 no. You can't use this with another Lightning client.
So what was it?
What these fuckers, what they've done, unless I misunderstand it, is they've created a closed system where you pay 3% of all satoshis you earn up to $25,000. Then you pay 9% for the privilege of having, you know, using their system. And I just don't understand it. I mean, if you're creating a node or something that, you know, where people can receive payments, why don't you let it so everything you're going, if you're going to use the term boost, why doesn't it work with Albie? You know, why can't an Albie person send
to your
system?
Why can't I pay with Breeze?
Yeah. Very odd. So I just wanted to point that I may be missing it completely, but when I see a boost button and I hit it and it says, no, you need to get our wallet.
Yeah, that's lame. That's here, just lame.
Consumer wallets. Here we go.
That's lame. This is supposed to be open. There's no like trademark on any of this stuff, but there can be, there can be shade. We can throw shade mark on them.
Well, anyway, so I just wanted to point that out, that we're in such a beautiful here boosts. Let me see.
Yeah.
Boost. And here's what I'm talking about. On the boost page. Boosts. It's tips with just a tap.
Boost a scam. That's what NetNet said. Boost a scam.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, I don't like that.
There's this boost button on this page. I hit boost. Sign up with Google. Tip me.
No.
Pass.
Nope.
Anyway, so I just, you know, you know what? Where we are right now, I never would have thought we would have gotten this far. I mean, I did, but I didn't have a timeline. I could see it. I could see where we needed to be, and just the acceleration of development within the hosting companies, the accelerated development, the depth of thinking now that's going on about many of the namespace elements and how we can be inclusive of all different kinds of business models and ideas. All that's left now is Libsyn. Integrate or die, bitches.
Libsyn, what are you doing?
What is wrong with you?
Like, just Podping. Just start with Podping. Give us a get request. If I have one thing that I want to beg Libsyn to please do, where is Libsyn headquartered at? Where are they, in like the Pacific Northwest somewhere?
Aren't they Chinese owned now? Is it Beijing?
I don't think so.
I'm kidding.
I don't think so. I think those guys, they got ripped.
Yeah, they got out. They got out of that, right?
Wherever you are, Libsyn, I will drive to your headquarters and show you how to send a GET request to a web server, because that's all you have to do. And you don't have WebSub. You don't have anything that will help. Please just do Podping, for the love of God.
Let me see where they're located. Let me see.
I will drive there. I will drive there and meet personally with everybody named Rob who works there, and everybody named Dave that works there.
Let me see. Abut. Let me look at Abut.
Abut?
It doesn't say
where. They're Canadian. They sound Canadian.
No, they're not Canadian. That's not. I don't know. They got a long history here, but I think the reason why. It just kind of hit me the other day as I was listening to. I think the reason why they're a little bit of an outsider is they may have started their business model much more as a podcast network, kind of like we're going to, you know, like the content is not ours, but like they were closer to it maybe in the beginning. You know, so there's some really big shows, you know, Mark Maron, Rogan, you know, a lot of really big shows that were on there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm not quite sure it just feels like they come from a different angle, which is fine, but come on, man. I mean, you can also look at like your competition is now a solid 12 months ahead of you.
Yeah. They're eating your lunch, and you don't have to start taking Bitcoin. You don't have to do that. You can start by putting your toes in the kiddie pool and throwing some Podpings. Because it's something you need anyway. The fact that you don't have an early warning system for feed changes,
yeah.
Like there's nothing there. And that really makes things difficult. And so like, do that first and realize that it's great. Then we'll convince you to do all the other stuff.
Exactly.
It's that simple.
And as you you might have heard, you know, we're happy to come and talk to your team. No charge. Mm-hmm. Well, if it's on Zoom, don't make me fly somewhere.
Zoom, yeah. I will drive there. Don't tempt me. I will drive there. Do we want to talk? I mean, we got two ways we can go here. We can talk namespace phase 6 because we still got stuff to talk about from last week, or we can talk Podping live reasons and the hard fork HF26.
What I have on my list is I had to think about the podcast events tag, which is part of V6, I believe, or is it just a proposal?
Phase six.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the events, and I was like, wow, this is really an interesting tag, and it opens up so much possibilities. And we left the last show with your question, which was, is this, if we're talking about a message bus, is this not just something that should go through Podping? Which, mm-hmm. which threw me for a loop. I'm like, oh, this is it. That's a good question. And I was just thinking about different use cases, and you know, we probably should explain what events is again. But I think that it feels like Podping can be a method of the events tag for certain types of data. But I think there's other things that you just wouldn't want on the open blockchain regardless, mm-hmm. which is kind of the whole point of it being a client to trusted party server that is sending this data, which is the way I read the spec or read the proposal.
Do you want me to? Let me give a brief overview. So the events tag is a way for you as the podcasting platform. So I am, let's just say that I am Libsyn, and I'm going to open up an API endpoint, an open API receiver that expects to receive event messages about things relating to podcasts that I publish. And I'm going to put the URL for that API endpoint, I'm going to put it in a tag inside all of my feeds called podcast events. So it's going to be podcast colon events.
You said colon. Seriously, bro?
Yeah. Yeah, on purpose. I said it on purpose because I want to make the British feel comfortable. The podcast colon, and then a URL attribute equals, and then the URL to the open endpoint. And so then that exists in the feed. In apps, platforms, anybody who ingests the feed for whatever reasons they have now sees that, okay, if I have certain events that I want to let the publisher, the podcast publishing platform know about, here's where I should send them.
Right.
And then, so that's the basic idea. And those events are the things that we discussed last week. They could be things like listens, or somebody just started listening, or somebody subscribed to the show, or somebody, or your artwork is broken, or the XML won't parse, or like it could be lots of, and your idea was,
or a survey.
Somebody just started using the show or whatever.
Or a survey. Can you do that too with an event? Like an app-based survey?
I think once the endpoint is in place, you really could do anything you want.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course it doesn't have to be the hosting company, it can be a third party. You can decide, well, I want to fill out this field with this with the OP3 gang who are going to parse it and give me nothing. Cuz that's what right. I get from you, JS.
Nothing?
No. I did like the pretty graph. No, that was James, Jay Cridlin. Cridlin did a pretty graph this morning. I'm like 75. No agenda is 75% of OP3's data.
No, it was 90.
Was it 90?
Yeah, on the podcast page. Yeah, it was 90, according to the double asterisk at the bottom of the page. But so, yeah, I think your instinct is right, because I discussed this with Alex offline, and we were like, you know, and he had some good points about
Alex Gates, the podcasting 2.0 consultant.
Yes, right. Yeah, and if people don't know, Alex makes his money by fixing people's broken stuff. Basically, he goes into a system.
And he charges and says, a lot for it.
Yeah, so he goes into a system and he's like, this is a disaster. Here's how you fix all this crap. And he wires it all up, makes them use standardized protocols, build schemas, basically makes all their stuff work like it's supposed to. And so when it comes to protocols and transport, he's a master at it. So I talked to him about it a little bit, and he's like, yeah, you know, this probably is not appropriate for pod peeing. Some of it could be, because, you know, some of it could be necessarily like public is fine, but there's a lot of it that's probably just, you're really wasting the blockchain to make that stuff public. And it probably, some of the stuff people may not even want to be public. So I think it's probably the right way to go, to have that be just a back-end API and not something on the blockchain.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Did I read somewhere that someone had, was it a WordPress plugin that was going to work with WebSub so that cross-app comments could kind of be bootstrapped again? Did I read something mm-hmm. about that?
That's a WordPress plugin for ActivityPub, yeah.
ActivityPub,
It already works, but it was supposed to enable, one of their new feature releases was going to enable posting back.
And
not just, I haven't heard anything from it. I don't know.
Oh, but has it been released?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Why don't you know? What's wrong?
Because there's things I don't know. Alert! The thing that happened this week that really was kind of like a big deal was Todd was trying to send out a live pod ping.
Ah.
For Geek News.
Right.
When he went live and it didn't work.
I didn't get it, no.
Yeah. And we're trying to figure out why, but we were thinking it's something to do with Sovereign Feeds, but we're not real sure, because the Sovereign Feeds, when he posted his command line, it looked right. So I don't know. But anyway, the bigger issue was the hard fork with Hive, and Brian was running around like a chicken with his head cut off trying to get everything situated.
Yeah.
And he sent me some stuff to upgrade on the podping.cloud servers, and I updated one of the servers to make sure that things were going to work the way he thought they would, and everything was fine. And I don't fully understand exactly what happened with Hive, but that's his job. Mm-hmm. And so we really need to move forward with getting live reason codes in podping.cloud so that can be used, because it really needs, so Todd shouldn't have to be relying on, I mean, it's fine to rely on a third party platform. That's fine. But they've already, Blueberry and PowerPress already know how to speak Podping to podping.cloud. So mm-hmm. that really should be where the solution is there for those guys. And that, so we need to do that. So me and Alex are working on moving forward with that.
If I understand, Todd was using Sovereign Feeds with the Podping there to hit the Podping server, and it just didn't work for some reason.
Yeah, I think Stephen B has a system in there with Google Cloud. What do they call their thing? Is it Google Cloud Platform? I don't know what the name of their Google Cloud.
Oh, Azure.
No, that's Microsoft.
Google. Beelzebub? Like, is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Satan? Yes. So he's got a thing on there. It's like a Lambda function type deal where it responds to an event and it spins up, sends the pod ping, and then spins down.
Yeah. Okay. Because it has been taking longer, so I understand why. But, and you also have to do that fun little math equation.
Yeah, right.
Which makes you feel really stupid when you get it wrong. Like, I can't believe I got adding three numbers together. I got it wrong.
Speaking of, did we get did you get the notification about live?
Oh, yeah.
I got it. I scroll back. Yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
I'm not questioning myself now. Okay.
Yeah, that's in there.
GCP, Google Cloud platform. Yeah. So I think there's something there that's wrong. But so the way that the podping.cloud the way it's built now, let's talk about that for a second. So the way it's built now is there are 5 podping.cloud servers. Each one of these has its own Hive posting key attached to the Hive Writer tool, which is built in Python. So the Hive Writer is what actually takes the incoming data and writes it to the Hive blockchain so that we can all see pod pings and have fun. The Hive Writer is running in a Docker container, and it's just basically a ZMQ socket that is sitting there listening all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The front end of podping.cloud that accepts the GET requests with the free feed URLs in them, that's a separate process, and that's a Rust binary that also speaks ZMQ over to the Hive Writer. So the Rust front end is accepting these feed URLs, saving them saving them in a SQLite database, and then once every few seconds, it's sending them in batches over to the Hive Writer, which accepts them and writes them to the Hive blockchain. So okay. There's more. There's more. Now, so that's fine, except that all it does now, that socket, that connection between the front end and the Hive Writer, that thing only right now is passing feed URLs. It's just a feed URL and a new line character. Feed URL, feed URL. Mm-hmm. It doesn't know how to speak anything else. So when you have live reason codes, that's not enough. I mean, like you don't know if the feed just updated or is it updated plus it's live.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that has to be known to the Hive Writer.
Yeah, the Hive Writer has to somehow be informed that this is not just a feed update. This is a feed update because of live.
Right.
So there's an extra bit of data, and there's also medium codes in there as well.
Right.
So we need a schema. We need a protocol. So now this ZMQ socket needs to not just pass feed URLs. It now needs to pass a data structure.
So, sounds like a job for JSON.
Oh, but it's not JSON.
Oh.
So JSON, JSON's fine. JSON's a fine data structure.
Very fine girl, but not for us. She's not marriage material.
No, by Felicia. JSON has some problems. So the typing in there can be unclear. So JSON just thinks of numbers. Mm. It just has numbers. You can't say, okay, this number is an unsigned integer or a 32-bit integer or 64-bit unsigned integer.
That's just ridiculous.
I know, it's completely useless. It's garbage. It
makes no sense.
And it's fat. You have to deserialize.
You're really shaming this girl. I mean, come on. This is getting a little out there.
Her name's JSON, so that's kind of stupid to begin with.
Right. What is the proposal? JSON is not it.
Yeah. So we're going to use a thing called Captain Proto, which is
Captain like Proto?
Yeah, Cap'n, like CAPN. Oh,
Cap'n Proto.
Yeah. Cap'n, yeah. Cap'n Proto, it's an evolution of the Protobuf protocol, which originated at Google. And that's what Protobuf is what gRPC uses if you interface with LND through the gRPC API. It's using Protobuf. And Cap'n Proto is an evolution of Protobuf. So it uses it's a binary format that has strong typing and all this stuff. And so what you do is you can pre-compile your protocol definitions, your schema, and say, here's what a message is supposed to look like. Mm. It's supposed to have this string. It's supposed to have a string here and its name is this. It's supposed to have a number here and it's a integer.
So it's like JSON, except it's binary.
Yes, it's binary and it's pre-compiled into all the different language libraries.
It's like protocol buffers, but faster.
Exactly. 100%
faster. I'm reading from the page, by the way. This is the introduction.
Like, you're blowing me away. I was like, whoa. I thought for a second I was really good at explaining this crap.
You are good. You are good. But I was reading along with their introduction because I was like, Cap'n Proto is like Cap'n Crunch. And yeah, that's their logo. It's like the Cap'n Crunch logo. I already like this.
Yeah. Okay. So it'll be a binary interface. I'll have strong typing, and the big benefit is, or one of the big benefits, other than just conformity to a standard, is speed. So it's right. very
speed,
fast.
Yeah, speed. That's
very
it.
Very right, fast. Right, so right. that's what we're doing now. I'm
infinity times faster than protocol buffers is claimed here.
I've heard.
Huh.
I've been living in Cap'n Proto documentation world for a couple of days trying to get my head on straight.
Okay.
So we're getting ready to fire this thing up and go get, because once we have that in, so here's the idea. Once you have the Cap'n Proto schema written, then and it's established and functional, then when we add new things in the future, it's just going to be as simple as a schema change. You just add the thing, recompile, boom, done. You don't, no more re-architecting
right,
all
right,
of this
right,
stuff.
Right. That's so thinking forward.
Yes, for sure. For sure. That's what happens when you get a consultant.
Yeah.
That knows what they're doing.
Fancy ass consultant in there. Very nice. Should we, I'm a little careful of your time today because it is second tax day coming up. So you need to go on time. Should we thank a few people here?
Sure, we can thank some people.
Okay. Yeah. Boost.
Just getting in the hang there. Get the man into the show. I mean, he knows that we love him. We've had a number of... What happened? I stopped hearing my helipad go. Well, we've had a number of live boosts for the Lit Show. Just 2 minutes ago, 50,000 sats from Midas. Thank you.
Thank you, Midas.
In the newest episode of Midas Pod, all talent was offered a split in the value block, thanks to Albie for helping me onboard the story's author. Programmatic royalties for the win.
Nice.
Absolutely. NetNed, 2,000 sats, beef boostograms and bros. You got it, man. Absolutely. See Brooklyn 112, 17,760 sats. Big freedom boost. Not a tip is the boostogram. Thank you. Understood. Chimp with 13,579. The revolution will be by boostogram. Hey, citizen.
I like that.
Hey, citizen, 6969. An extra boost for the... for the Tinder of podcasting features. is that what events is for?
For the Tinder of podcasting, yes.
I guess so. Love and Lit, my homie, says, hey, citizen, we're the second 6969. Carolyn, 18,888, big lucky boost. Boosting for these beautiful moments. Love this value for value art as well. It's too cool. That's the lit art that I'm using.
Oh, okay.
We have a short row of ducks from Macintosh. We got Chad Farrow with 3333. Dovidas with 2022, so 20,202. Mitch with 10,000 sats. And Bitcoin, your favorite podcaster, while you listen live. Value for value, lit. Harfat with 10101 and a big boost.
Boost!
Anonymous, niner, 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 niner. Thank God it wasn't Cats the Musical you were playing. Got my tour hoodie on account of the snow this morning. Of the snow. Okay. Yeah, we were singing.
Oh, yeah. Alex said that it's snowing in Wisconsin.
Oh, my goodness.
It's snow already.
Todd Cochran. Oh, man. Look at you go, Todd.
Did he boost?
100,420.
Go podcasting!
Ooh.
Message heard, Chef. Spent 2 to 3 hours this week with various team members here at Blueberry strategizing how to transform the tech of podcasting 2.0 into language and strategies a podcaster will understand. It's been fun and challenging at the same time. Good times for sure. Keep innovating. We'll figure out how to sell it to the masses.
Oh, nice.
There you go, Todd. What a man. Value for value, value number four, value.info may be of some help. There's some writing in there you can lift. And that, I think, this one, See, Lyceum, this may be on your list, so I'll just read this and see if it crosses over. Rush Boost 2112. Dave, thanks for telling me about Anytime Player. I like the friendly competition between the developers of new applications. Fountain, I like for streaming sats and earning sats. Castomatic for finding value for value podcasts. Podcast Guru for its speed and clean UX. Podverse for the live item tag, etc. That's Martin Lindeskog. With his 2112. Thank you very much, Martin. Shall we roll right through while you grab your notes? This is a value for value podcast, ground zero for the streaming sats and the boostograms. If you'd like to send us some on chain, or I keep mentioning it, not like y'all will ever do it, but you can go to
podcast. No shade, though. No shade.
No, podcastindex.org. Scroll down to the bottom. Now, we do have the big red donate button there for your fiat fund coupons through PayPal. It still works, so feel free to use that. Hey, Tallycoin, what happened? Why did our Tallycoin go away?
It goes. It comes and goes as pleases. Like, yeah, it has a mind of its own, basically.
Well, I was like, well, that's no good.
Every time I refresh the page, it's something new with Tallycoin.
Received anything through Tallycoin since August 26, but it's still there. We should probably figure out why that's.
Well, I'm not going to fully blame Tallycoin, because you know we do have the problem where once in a while the whole website just won't load because it goes widescreen on you. So
that was because we're loading some weird JavaScript in the podcast box.
We're going to get hacked one day. It's just a matter of when. It's all going to come through the website.
I love your certainty.
Yes, it's going to happen. Yes. Yeah,
but, you know, just to show that we were very reliant on PayPal, that has moved very quickly. Now, our big donors, our big monthlies are still coming in through PayPal. That's fine. But we know that it will also work through the boostograms. It's all good. Appreciate everyone supporting the show, supporting the project, and keeping us alive.
Well, Todd and the team from Blueberry, they followed it up with a PayPal with $150.
Nice.
And and they said, go podcasting from the Blueberry podcasting team.
I think they got a baller, too.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
That will be pretty big.
Go podcasting!
Thank you, team.
Yes, thank you, Blueberry team, and Mike Dell, the Senior Vice President of Podcasting 2.0 Operations at Blueberry.
Does he have a business card with it? I'd love to have a copy of that business card.
Yeah, I want a screenshot of that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Jennifer Navaretti, I'm going to say that. Please, Jennifer, correct my pronunciation of your name if that's wrong. Navarette or Navaretti. Jennifer sent us $15, and she said, Adam and Dave, thanks for breathing new life into podcasting. This is a small token of my appreciation. Why $15? To commemorate the 15th annual National Podcast Post Month, a.k.a. NAPODPOMO, pronounced NAPODPOMO, which is a 30-day podcasting challenge held every November 1st through the 30th. www.napodpomo.org. Cheers, ePodcaster.
Oh, well, thank you, Jennifer. Thank you very much. We'll give you a little
boost.
Just give you a boost for that. I'm looking. Let me see. Here she has a website, Jennifer Navaret. All right. Thank you, Jennifer.
Navaret.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She is a podcast producer, a virtual event producer, community organizer, social media strategist. Okay.
All the things.
Yeah, definitely all the things. All right.
Kyron from the Mere Mortals podcast. That's all of her PayPals. For Boost, Kyron sent us 11,111 sats through Fountain. Nice. And he says, wow, I barely understood anything from this episode, but I still loved it. The podcasting 2.0 progress cannot be stopped.
Bombshell. Thank you, sir.
Gene Everett sent us 33,000 sats through Fountain. And he says, boost, boost, boost.
Oh, he wants the triple booster. Here we go. Yep. Oh, no, here it is.
Boost, boost, boost.
Here we go.
Brian of London. 1948 sats, and he says, that's why that's my wife's ringtone. What? Brian, I have no idea what you're talking about, brother.
You know, well, I got to go back. Well, I'll look at the Albie. This is one of these moments where you want to know at what point in the show the boostagram came in.
Okay, this has a timestamp. It says 1 hour, 30 minutes, and 4 seconds.
Okay. Well, I can see that. Okay. So, hold on a second. This is worth it to see if this really works, huh? So it would be, what episode was it?
Episode 105.
105. Here's 105. Bombshell. Okay. And I'm going to the...
The time is 1:30:04.
And let me see. I see the boost.
That's my wife's ringtone, so we must have played something.
That's Brian of London. Oh, here it is. Okay. One of those stock names from Breeze. Let me go back a little.
Says, howdy, Dave and Adam. People who carry water for Putin will lose salvation.
One of those stock names from Breeze.
Time, $90 to go.
All right.
How about getting DJ Steve Boyette on board?
Somewhere in the donation segment, and I'm clicking to the spot. You can hear it jumping, but
you should be able to see. You're the master of visualizing the waveform.
Oh,
you should
man.
Be able to see this music in there.
If only I had a waveform. It's just because what I'm doing, I'm looking, this is the beauty of it. I'm looking at Saturn, which is the Albi stats page. And I see here, if you haven't looked at it, it's an amazing system. It's exactly what you want. I can see all the streaming stats, shows me that people barely drop out of the show. And it shows me on this timeline, it shows me all these different boostergrams. So if I go to the first one,
creates great music mixes.
This is a booster right here. Howdy, this is where Howdy Dave and Adam comes in. Please invite your audience to visit the AI.cooking. I don't know why he did that. I like running stuff like that. It's not for everyone. There's something not right about the interface because I can see where people boost and it jumps to the audio, but I have to scroll back to understand why they boosted at that moment. Because the moment they boost is already after something was said. Does that make sense?
I wonder if it was the Hawaii 5-0 that you played. Well, that may have been. Said maybe he meant toe ring, not ringtone. So that's also possible.
Sorry for the interruption.
Well, thanks, Brian. All right. A row of sticks from Justin Trudeau, 1111, and his messages, this is through Breeze, and his messages, podcastindex.org.
Yep. Okay. Thank you very much.
It exists. It does exist.
Yeah, yay.
Roy Scheinfeld.
Yeah. Hello, Roy.
54321 through Breeze, and he says, meet me at Bitcoin Amsterdam. Well, Bitcoin Amsterdam, that's over, isn't it? Didn't it end?
I think it did.
That's already.
You know, I don't understand is like this. But here's the problem with these Bitcoin conferences. It's like the people who go there and speak on panels, they have companies or they have lots of Bitcoin they can use to travel with. No one's ever offered me like airfare, or a hotel or something. Hey, come speak at our at the Bitcoin. Like, okay, that's great. No, I don't have any plans to travel. ...
Well, that's like when somebody in your family says, hey, can you be in my wedding? And you're like, you do understand this is going to cost me like $2,000. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, destination wedding. Thanks, pal.
Yes.
Yeah.
3333 from Debozak. No message.
Oh, okay.
Bummer. I was looking forward to hearing from
Debozak. So we only had one PayPal?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, the transition.
No, we had two.
The transition has been amazing.
We had Blueberry and Jennifer Navarrete.
What a fantastic transition.
Roy Scheinfeld back again.
Whoa.
For more. He couldn't get enough. He gave it to 10,000 sats. Huh. And he says, thanks for Breeze shout out, Adam.
You know what's happened? He's taken the, that sleeping pill that,
The Ambien.
Ambien. Yeah, he's doing Ambien and wine again.
He's going to wake you. Roy, stop. Don't do that. You're going to wake up. He's on Shantix.
You're going to wake up and you've boosted your entire node to podcasting 2.0. I can just see him there in an Ambien haze.
He's going to be in his neighbor's backyard cooking naked.
Yeah. Hitting the boost button over and over again.
He's going to be yelling, steak and eggs, steak and eggs. Gene Bean, 1337, Leet, through Castomatic. And he says, So long as podcast events really is privacy respecting as described, I'd happily give my listening data. Me too.
And me too. And let me tell you the download data that, you know, I was only planning on doing it once and I did it twice into OP3. And now I'm like, fuck it, just throw everything in there. It gets real easy. I don't care. There's been the only thing about sharing that data, and of course it's, you know, I don't think it's any violation for the listeners. As I like James Cridlin saying, "Wow, what a podcast!" I like that, where I feel like, oh, the curry's not full of crap. It does have quite an audience there. That was a good moment. I like that.
Here's what I need to know from Spurlog, though. I need to know if we can also OP3 image art, album art through there, because I would like to juxtapose the downloads of the album art with the downloads of the enclosures. Just for
statistical purposes.
Yeah. Morbid curiosity.
Thanks, NA Millennial. 10,000 sats just came in with a boostagram. I'm starting to like you nerds. All right. Hey, man, we're popular with the millennials. All right.
We already liked you, NA Millennial.
That's right.
5552 from Satoshi Stream through Fountain. And Satoshi Stream says, putting a string in your show notes to verify might be ugly. But it works. That's true. But we're about to give you a better solution, though, Satoshi Stream. Hang tight. It's coming.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's coming, brother. Or sister. We still don't know. Anonymous says 1,043
I love that about Satoshi Stream. We don't know who you. It could be a whole bunch of people. It's almost like it's like Satoshi himself.
It is, yes.
Who knows?
It could be his entire team. Mm-hmm. Let's see. 1,043 sats from Anonymous. No note. Thank you, Anonymous. A test boost of 1,000 sats from Dreb Scott. Thank you, Dreb. We'll see. That's a lower. That's a drippy boost. Cole McCormick, 5,000 sats through Fountain. He says, "You know, it seems like every other week a person I'm following is being demonetized on YouTube or another platform.
Oh, you don't
always
say.
Some algo thing or a bigger company being greedy. Value for value is the path. I will take that to the grave. Go podcasting.
Yay, yay.
Go podcasting."
Boost.
I know. I saw a lot of these notes. Oh, man. Value for value. We're saved.
We're saved. Yes. Acelsi 77777.
That's hey, Striper boost.
Uh-huh. Galatians 6:6 for a value for value verse. Careful. May and has been abused for 2,000 years. Judgment incoming. He is the good shepherd. And we are his flock. Don't get caught reaping with your lips around the feed tube when sats are sown. Insert goat scream here. No karma. International Namespace Day and Putin's birthday on 10/7. Go podcasting.
I'm still looking for a goat scream for him. Here we go.
Go podcasting!
That threw me off there. All right.
International Podcast Day and Putin's birthday on the same day. That's a rough one. It's a conspiracy. Yeah. That'll get you demonetized in a heartbeat.
There it is.
Sir Doug sent us 10,000 sats, no note, through Fountain. Thank you, Sir Doug.
You.
Gene Bean, 16,000 sats through Castomatic.
Beauty.
And Gene Bean says, y'all misunderstood my boost from last week.
Oh.
I was talking wanting guides for podcast listeners, not podcasters. That talk about how to get started with value for value and that show what a listener gets by using a podcasting 2.0 app instead of a traditional one. I think these really could be helpful for educating audiences.
Right. But I think it should be the podcast apps who do that. Mm-hmm. If I can't write it. I mean, I can, but it's going to be different for Podverse than it is for. I mean, you know, it was a valiant go there by Albie. You know, they're like, hey, this is a good idea. Let's not only have confetti, let's have the same explainer.
You're never going to let them live
that. I'm just messing with it.
that's the thing that pops to mind is the slides that we did at the.
Oh, we need to get those onto the value for value page as a different guide because we have a guides page. Okay. I think we just put that up there just so people can get the full scope. I have a copy of the slides.
It goes through every single one. Yeah. Okay. Oh, Roy Schoenfeld, the Ambien wave he's 2 is slamming, kicking in. Slamming. He decided to go back in for another glass of wine. 5,000 sats.
Uh-oh. Breeze. He's running out of Chardonnay.
Aselsi came in with 77.77 through Fountain. This is Adam.
Yes.
Oh, wait. This looks like a transcript.
Uh-oh.
Adam, I'm looking for some animal-robot interaction. Time passes. Dave, I'm not ready for the end times Mark of the Beast crap. LOL, go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Not sure what it was, but we'll take your Satoshis.
We evidently said weird stuff on the last show.
Yes.
Dave Jackson, Hall of Famer from the School of Podcasting, 5,000 sass, and he says, V for V is in the Bible. Pay the workers their wages, 1 Timothy 5:18. I like it. I like it.
Well, time, talent, treasure is something you hear in church. That's where I stole it. No, I got it from Tina. She probably stole it from church.
The Tone Wrecker, 2052 sats through Fountain, and he says, Nightcrawler Robotics Brainstorming Boost. The team has an additional robot with attached t-shirt cannon for school events, so a food launcher could actually be considered. Received an anonymous donation of sats in that new Albi wallet and mentioned it on our weekly update to get more students inquiring how it works and how they can participate. Happy to field suggestions from anyone for more robot integrations via Boostergrams to Nightcrawler 2052 podcast. These weeks are moving quickly. Go nerds!
Yes, Boost.
Okay.
What was that one?
Yes, Boost.
I don't know.
That's a new one. I hadn't heard that.
Just popped up.
Okay, let's see. Here we go. Brian of London and the Hive DAO.
Ooh.
101243.
Whew.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sack caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
He says, you've been hard forked.
Okay. You've been defermented.
Back at you.
And unlike the New York Times and Podcasting 2.0, we actually know what a hard fork is. This really stuck in his crawl, by the way.
Oh, I read that, and I also went, oh, man, what a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
Do you have it
double in my regular... Okay.
Do you have it in front of you, the description of hard fork?
No, I don't. It's on the other screen.
Oh, go ahead. Keep reading. I'll find it.
It says, double my regular boost to celebrate. Hive's hard fork 26. That's a good celebration. Congrats to that team. I know that's not an easy thing to do.
Here's the... I'll read his whole post. Can you believe that the two top writers at the New York Times actually named their show Hard Fork and defined Hard Fork like this, colon... quote open. A hard fork is a programming term for when you're building something that gets really screwed up, so you take the entire thing, break it, and start over. End quote.
No, it's not.
Oh my goodness. How I mean, that is just
look, they had Kara Swisher in the tech category, so look,
yeah, look, yeah, that's true. I heard Cridlin say, the Kara Swisher was a tech show. No, she's a political show, if anything. Interview show. Sway was an interview show.
Gossip show.
No, it does. No, Sway.
Celebrity gossip. That's what half of it is. It's just a bunch
Talking about Pivot? Because Sway was her interview show. That's the one that changed to Hard Fork.
I'm talking about the one with Prof G.
Yeah, that's Pivot. That's not the one that changed. The one that changed was Sway. Okay.
Yeah. The one where she interviewed the lady from the CIA?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's the one.
Well, that's definitely not a tech show.
No, it's not.
Booberry, 17776. Super Liberty Boost. In the morning, came across a group that can set up federated services like PeerTube, AzuraCast, Matrix, and etc. for podcasters that I would like to shout out. Their name is Prometheus.Systems, and they are the ones who set up our new Masto server, Spook.Social. I would recommend their services if you are, and that's all the message. The rest of it's gone.
Oh, he ran out of space. This is kind of interesting. This Prometheus Systems. They got a badass website. That's kind of cool.
Is that the actual URL, Prometheus.systems?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Oh, okay.
I didn't know that systems was a TLD.
Yeah.
Everything's a TLD.
I guess
you
know? So. I guess so. Interesting.
Oh, Beefbox is probably a TLD.
It should be. Okay, interesting group. Very cool.
Lyceum 2222 So Adam, thank you for your responses to my questions regarding wallets. If you listened to Podrunner, Groove Electric, and the V4V Twitter handle, I will test to fill my wallet on Breeze. I will talk with the folks at Albi next week about a new feature. It is great to see the developments of the new features and the new podcast apps. Well, thank you, Martin.
Yeah, sure thing. Appreciate thank that, you, Martin.
Delimiter.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Comic strip blogger. 15033. Yes. 15033 through Fountain. And he says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Please invite your audience to visit url:, ai.cooking, close quote, in web browser or search for it in any podcast app to listen to British voice of Gregory William Forsyth Foreman from Kent, UK, jibber jabbering about artificial intelligence news, history, and knowledge, and stay dangerous with Samson. Yo.
Yo.
I don't know what that Samson thing is. Whatever. Okay. We got some paper. We got some monthlies. Sir Alex Gates, the podcasting 2.0 consultant, $25. Podverse, $50.
Thank you, Alex. The only consultant who will pay his clients. It's unbelievable. Yes. This podcasting 2.0 thing is phenomenal.
I like to think that we give him such joy in his heart.
Value.
And that's the value. And so he just, a little piece of that joy is just $25 worth of joy. And he just gives that right back to us.
We're much cheaper than a hooker.
Yes. It just sloughs off. Yes.
That was very inappropriate. I apologize. I realized David right Norman. Off the bat it was inappropriate.
David Norman, $25. Mr. Hypercatcher. Derek J. Visker, $21. Lauren Ball, $24.20. Damon Kasajak, $15. Mitch Downey from Podverse, $10. Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you.
Christopher Harabarek, $10. Jeremy Cavanaugh, $10. Terry Keller, $5. Soren Hilger Mueller, $5. Jeffrey Rutherford, $5. Chris Cowan, $5. And Jeremy Gerds, $5. That's it. That's
wow. Thank you all very much for supporting Podcasting 2.0. You're supporting the systems, the servers. You're supporting this show. You're keeping us motivated. You're giving us a little bit, you're giving us actually quite a nice amount with the Satoshis for the node to be able to provide liquidity, which will be increasingly more. And we're just a bridge as well, you know, until other people start taking over a lot of those functions. But so happy to do this. It's the best job I've ever had. Hands down. I love it. Look at the people we get to work. Look, I get to work with Dave Jones, Pod Sage.
Stop the pod. The Pod Sage is silliness. The silliness has to stop.
It's 2:12. You got to go. You got, it's pumpkin time for you, no?
Pumpkin time. I guess I got to. We can talk about stuff next week, I guess. We got to talk about remote item and.
Ooh, yes. Well, let's. Okay.
State maybe, and has guests.
Maybe the podcast industrial complex could not create any news for our next show so we can just get to it because they keep creating news that is great for us.
Yeah, but we can't stop. We got to. It's distracting. We got to dive deep.
Yeah. We'll have Cridland put them on notice. Stop it! Stop going out of stop going out of business. We need to move forward.
Stop canceling your shows and really, firing
stop
people.
Stop that! Stop that! It's so sickening.
No, actually, don't stop because it's really fun.
No, it's not fun. It's not when people get fired. That part really sucks.
Not the people losing their job thing, no. But the exclusive content's doing
failing.
Terrible.
Yeah,
I do enjoy that. Yes.
Be a leaky bucket, Dave Jones.
That's what I am. I was born that way.
All right, brother. Have a great weekend, and
you too.
Go podcasting, my friend. We're kicking ass.
It's just fun.
All right, that's Podcasting 2.0, the official board meeting for this week. We'll be back next week. Keep in touch at podcastindex.social. Support us at podcastindex.org. Until next week, bye bye. Yeah.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Podcasts are cool.
Go podcasting!
Yes, Boost.